Hi, we're Cottage Grove Faith Center. Thanks for checking out our podcast. We believe in connecting all generations to God's grace through generosity, humility, and fun. Hope you'll check us out on Sunday mornings. Find out more at www.cg4.tv.
What a great day it is to be in God's house. I want us to continue the series that we began a couple weeks ago. If you want to turn your Bibles to the book of James, what a solid book this is. James chapter 1, we're going to be reading in just a few minutes, verses 19 through 27. Pick up where we left off last week. Now, in the first 2 weeks of this series, we first of all talked about the importance of counting it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. Last week, we tackled the tough subject that James gives us with this word temptation. And we find that the word trial and temptation in this passage of Scripture is actually the same Greek word, but they have different processes that we go through. But today we're going to talk about the powerful effects of God's Word. We're going to talk about profiting from the Word of God. You know, at least once a day, maybe several times a day for some of you, we stand before a mirror and review the way we look. Do you guys ever do that during the day? You just kind of find a mirror in the bathroom, kind of look, checking things. And if an adjustment is necessary, if you're like me, it usually is, then we straighten our clothes or comb our hair, all because the mirror has helped us by revealing some things about how we really look. And hopefully we're not as silly as the guy who stood in front of a mirror with his eyes closed because he wanted to see what he looked like when he slept. You know what I mean? So I don't know if he ever accomplished that or not, But this morning, I want to point out to us something that can forever, I believe, change our image of ourselves and even how others might see you and me. The Word of God is a moral mirror which the Holy Spirit uses to enable you and me to see ourselves as we really are. And I might add this. How many of you know that you are a child loved so deeply by our Father? Can you say amen to that? That is such a great thing to grasp a hold of in our lives. The view that we get is not what we think based on experience or what others might think based on their observation, but it's how God sees you and me. But here's the problem. The problem is that many people today don't ever even read or try to understand the Word of God. Now, that's not because they don't have a Bible. Statistics show us that in America, almost every home in America has a Bible. The problem is it's not often read enough, nor is it really applied even for the believer at times. According to a Gallup poll a few years ago, 82% of Americans believe that the Bible is either literal or it's the inspired Word of God. More than half stated that they read their Bible at least monthly. Yet half couldn't even name one of the four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me tell you this. You and I, we can profit, we can benefit from the Bible. Can you say amen to that? We can benefit from God's Word. The problem in our world today is not that the Bible is irrelevant. It's just not read, understood. It's not being applied all the time to our daily living. But the Bible really is a very practical book. And we can benefit greatly from the Bible. The Lord wants us to integrate the Bible into our daily lives. And I tell you what, over the years, for Dean and I, we've had a tough decision to make about something. Not just prayer would we do prayer, but we would go to the Word of God and try to find, hey, God, will you speak to us, challenge us, give us some direction, some wisdom in this area. Let's take a few moments and examine the steps that lead to receiving the benefits that the Bible has to offer. If you want to follow along with me in the book of James chapter 1, let's read verses 19 through 27. It tells us this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Because anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, there's a lot of information that James gives us in these short amount of verses that we're going to look at today. So I'm going to give you three main points, but I'm going to give you some sub-points under these main points. So if you want to take notes, follow along with me. We're just going to go literally verse by verse and take some nuggets from God's word this morning. First of all, if you're taking notes today, I want us to look at some steps that we can take that allows us to profit from God's word. And the first thing I want us to see is this. We have to learn to allow God's word to take root in us. It has to take root in our heart. Let's read verses 19 to 21 again. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly what? Accept the word planted in you, which can save you." We have got to learn to allow God's word to be deeply rooted in you and me. Can you say amen? Deeply rooted in us. Verse 21, James tells us to humbly accept the word planted in you. The word translated accept, or in the King James Version, we see the word receive. It literally means to welcome. It's the idea of receiving or accepting the word given in this original language. It's like us, you and me, when somebody comes to our house and we show them hospitality. We welcome them into our home. This word is used for how we receive others. But here it is used for how we receive the word of God into our hearts. Deeply planted within us, allowing it to take root. In other words, we must cultivate a heart and a life that welcomes the word, that allows the word of God to really deeply resonate in you and me. And what kind of life is that? Well, it's a life that's characterized by humility. It's a life that's characterized by openness, receptivity, being receptive to the word of God, allowing it to take root in us. And such a life must be prepared to receive the word, just as soil is what? Prepared to receive the seed. And after all, James is telling us, hey, the word has been implanted in you. I love the fact that growing up in the home I grew up in, that when I was learning verses as a young man and learning the books of the Bible and the things that began to just be implanted in me, from the very beginning of as long as I can remember. And I remember a season in my life where I just didn't really want anything to do with God or the church. But the minute that I began to see how silly that was, I began to say, okay, God, I really need to kind of connect with you and really be serious about this relationship. Do you know that the things that were implanted in me when I was 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 years old just began to come back to me? Well, it was just like it had never been gone. And that's how the word of God can be for you and me when we allow it to take root in our hearts. We have to be prepared, allow it to be implanted in us. Now, to adequately prepare for our hearts, James says here are four guidelines that we need to model. These behaviors will enable you and me to accept the word and to receive the full benefits of the word. So here we go. Four things he says. First of all, we need to, number one, have the ability to listen. Everyone should be quick to listen. A mom was a little surprised when her son suddenly announced one day after church, he said, "Hey, I think I'm going to be a pastor when I grow up." "Why is that?" she asked. "Well," he said, I figured I have to go to church anyway on Sundays, and I think it'll be more fun to stand and yell than it will be to sit and just listen." You know what I mean? So some people are better at that than others. But we must be quick to hear the word of truth. Now, the word swift or quick to hear or to listen actually refers to an alert ear. But James is not talking about just a physical hearing with our physical ears. He's talking about allowing it to make impact in our hearts, allowing it to take root in you and me. Being quick to listen describes an attentive heart, listening for what God is trying to say to you and me. And this is often true when it comes to what God is trying to communicate to us. You can physically see or hear his word and yet not really hear it, if you know what I mean. You can see the word of God, you can hear the word of God being read, but not really allow it to resonate deep into your heart. Now, I can tell you as a husband that this is where I get in trouble many times, okay, as a husband right here. Dina will be talking to me. She's just telling me all kinds of things that are on her heart. And after a few minutes, she'll look at me and say, "Are you hearing what I'm saying?" And of course, my answer is, yes, I did hear you. But then every once in a while, she throws in a test. She says, "Okay, now, repeat back to me what I just said to you." And church, this is where I get in trouble often, let me tell you right now. Because I may have been hearing with my ears some sound that was coming or hearing what she was saying, but I wasn't listening with my heart because I wasn't giving her my full attention. And I've gotten in trouble many times, and she can shake her head yes to that. But oftentimes we can physically hear God's word, but yet not really hear it. We not only have to concentrate on the facts, but we have to concentrate on the attitude of our heart in hearing the facts, in hearing what the Bible teaches us. It's the ability to listen. So what are the things that keep us from hearing? Well, James goes on. He says, first of all, you need to learn to have a controlled tongue. James 1:19 says what? Also, not only are you quick to listen, but you are what? Slow to speak. One of the things that keeps us from hearing is because often we don't allow ourselves to be slow in responding or speaking. It's like the gal that said, "My boyfriend tried to leave me because he said I talked too much, but I talked him out of it." You know what I mean? So we can't be an effective listener if all we're doing is talking. Often we don't hear what someone is trying to say because we're really not listening. As husbands are looking at their wives all over the place here, sorry. But often we don't hear someone, what they're saying, because we're not listening. We may even ask them how they're doing. "How are you doing today?" Well, what do we expect to hear from them? "Fine, I'm doing good. Life's good," because that's what we're programmed to hear. But if for some reason they started talking to you about their week, to talking to me about, we may already be on to somebody else because we already heard the words "fine" in our mind. We're programmed to hear that, but we're not really listening and being quick to listen and slow to speak. We're not quick to hear when it comes to receiving what others are trying to tell us. And sometimes, or many times, we are like that with God. James tells us, learn how to have a controlled tongue. Thirdly, he also tells us this, have a peaceful attitude. The third thing we need to do is to learn to cultivate a calm spirit. James says, you need to be what? Slow to become angry. Excuse me. James not only tells us that we need to be slow to anger, but gives us this warning in verse 20. He says, because human anger does not produce what? The righteousness that God desires. Our anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So here's what it comes down to at times in our life. We just need to calm down. Just need to calm down. You can't communicate with an angry person very well. If you notice that, I've tried, and I'm not just talking about family. I'm talking about others in my life. Did you know that being upset with what we are hearing can actually block all the capacity we have to actually hear what's being said? Especially when it comes to a relevant new word that God is trying to give to us. And if we don't calm our spirit down and let God speak a word to us, even when that word is uncomfortable, we will most likely not even hear what's being said from the Lord. We need to learn to have a peaceful attitude toward God and others. We need to cultivate a calm spirit. When we're angry, we become closed off to those around us. We're not really listening to reason. We're looking to get even. And sometimes it's all about getting ahead if I'm angry. We feel resentment, bitterness, and sometimes even hatred. But all that these things do, they become barriers to us in our communication skills. It's hard for God or others to speak to us when we hold an attitude in our heart of anger. We need to learn to calm down so that we can hear. We need to have a peaceful attitude. And fourthly, James tells us this too. He says, not only do you need to have a calm spirit or attitude, but you also need to rid yourself of filth. Look at verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all what? Moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. What he's talking about here is pretty obvious to us, that we are to lay our sin down before Christ. The word for filth that is used here actually comes from a root in the Greek that means earwax. It's kind of a cool picture, isn't it? Yeah, earwax. Just as we can't hear with our ears that are what? Full of wax. We're not going to be able to really hear the Lord clearly if we allow ourselves to be filled with filth and evil from this world. We must be willing to get rid of anything that we know of in our lives that will keep us from clearly hearing from God. And I know in my life, the times that I wasn't really clearly hearing from the Lord and I made a decision, it usually came back to bite me because I wasn't clearly understanding what he was saying to me. Are there things in our lives today that we need to get rid of? We will have a hard time being able to receive the full benefit of God's word until we learn to rid ourselves of filth. So, how do we receive the word? Well, let's review this again. He says we need to develop a capacity to listen. We need to hear the word of God. We need to develop a controlled tongue and a peaceful attitude to receive the word of God. And finally, we need to rid ourselves of filth in obedience to the word of God. James says to you and me, point number one, allow God's word to take root in us. Secondly, our main point is this. Not only do we allow God's word to take root, but we also learn to submit to God's word. Look at verses 22 to 25. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So, the first step we just talked about is learning to be receptive to God's word, allowing it to take root in us. The second step is also learning to be submissive to God's word. I know sometimes we don't like to hear that word submissive or submit because it kind of has a wrong meaning or it kind of rings wrong in our hearts and our ears. But that's exactly what this is. It's learning to be submissive under the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. There are three ways that we do that. Here they are. First of all, verse 25 tells us this. It involves examination. James speaks of one who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Notice that he's not simply talking about someone who merely looks at God's word, but he says, I'm talking about somebody who looks intently at the word of God. There's a difference than just looking and looking with intent. Learning to examine. We're to examine the word of God. We are to carefully investigate the word. We are to research the word of God. The implication of the word translated as looks actually means this, to stoop down and gaze into. It's the same word that was used to symbolize the way Peter and John and Mary would stoop down to look into the empty tomb on resurrection morning. Same words used here. It's also found in 1 Peter 1:12 where we are told that the angels desire to look into or to gaze at the glories of salvation that are outside of their own personal experience. So the idea here is that we don't merely glance at God's word, but that we gaze, that we stoop down and gaze into intently, finding out what he's saying to me, what he's saying to you. You know, I might glance at the mirror every morning, but I'm not really looking very hard unless I see something unusual. kind of like the report about a private school in Washington that was faced with a unique problem. A number of 12-year-old girls were beginning to use lipstick, and they would put it on in the bathroom. That was fine, but after they had put on their lipstick, they would press their lips to the mirror, leaving dozens of lip prints all over the mirror every day. Well, each night, the custodian would come in, remove them, and the next day, the girls would put them back on again. So finally, the principal decided, hey, I'm going to do something about this. So she called all the girls to the bathroom, met them with this maintenance guy and the custodian. She explained that all the lip prints were causing a major problem for the custodian, who had to clean the mirrors every night. And so to demonstrate how difficult it was to clean, she asked the maintenance man to show the girls how much effort was required. So he took out a long-handled squeegee, he dipped it into the toilet, and he cleaned the mirror with it. And the reports say since then there have been no lip prints on the mirror, okay? You know, there are teachers and there are educators, you know what I'm saying? So now, if I see something unusual by looking in the mirror, then I want to look a little closer. I want to take a good look. I want to concentrate on what I'm looking at. I want to make sure that I see and remember it. We should look at God's word in the same manner. We should dig deeply for the truths that it contains. We should research it. We should read the Bible like we read a love letter. Because that's what it is to you and me. It's a love letter that was written. And it has been suggested that the one time people read for all they are worth is when they are in love and they are what? Reading a love letter. They perceive the color of the words, the order of the phrases, and the weight of sentences in that love letter. They look, they gaze, they look with intent, they study the letter. See, learning to submit to God's word involves careful examination of it. Secondly, it also compels us to reflect on it. James tells us that we not only look intently at the word, but we also review and reflect on his word. Look at verse 25, the full verse. It says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." See, we are to continue to look into the word. We are to remember what we have heard and read. And unless you and I have learned to study God's word, we will have a hard time being able to make the right decisions that we are faced with on a daily basis. Excuse me. We will be more susceptible to temptation, which we talked about last week. Jesus used God's word to deal with temptation. Remember when in Matthew 4 it teaches us that Jesus went off into the desert and the devil met him there. And you know how Jesus defeated the devil? What did he say? "It is written, devil. It is written, devil. It's in the word of God, devil." We got to understand and reflect on how powerful the word of God can be in our lives. We must use God's word in the same manner. David wrote in Psalm 119:11, "I've hidden your word in my heart," what? "That I might not sin against you." The word can be our protection. It can be our defense against the enemy. But we can only use the word if we know the word. And to do that, we must be compelled to reflect on the word of God. If you ever do your devotions in the morning, take time to reflect on what you're reading. What are you really saying to me today, Jesus? What is it that you're trying to accomplish in my life today? Who is it that you're going to bring my way today that I can be a blessing? We reflect. We're compelled to reflect on the word. We must spend time in the word. Reading, studying, memorizing has to become a top priority for us as believers. Learning to submit to God's word should compel us to reflect on it. Thirdly, it also commands a response. One final way that we can apply the word is to respond to it. James tells us in verse 22, "Do not merely what? Listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." Respond. It commands a response. In verse 25, James says that we will be blessed not by simply hearing the word, by what? But by doing it. Putting it into practice. We must personally respond to the word of God. The word applies to us. It applies to you. It applies to me. We need to do it. It's the basis upon which you and I, the Bible says, will be blessed. It's the basis upon which you and I will receive the benefits of the word when we allow ourselves to respond to it. Not just hear it, but we go out and do it. We live it before the world that we live in. And if we're not willing to respond to the word, we can't expect to be blessed by the word. Oftentimes as Christians, we stop at merely hearing and receiving the word. We hear the word, we receive it, but we don't take the essential step to do what the word commands, what it commands us to do. There are too many times that we want to receive the blessing of God without being obedient to God's word. And James says we are self-deceived when that happens. He tells us that if we're not willing to put the word into practice, we are like someone who glances in the mirror but really never sees what they look like. They're like the princess that author George Sweeting tells about in one of his books. She lived in the heart of the uncivilized jungle, and for years, this chieftain's daughter had been told by all that she was the most beautiful woman in the entire tribe. And although she had had no mirrors to view herself, she had been convinced of her unparalleled beauty. One day when an exploring party traveled through the part of the country, the princess was given a mirror as a gift. And for the first time in her life, she was able to see her own reflection. And her immediate reaction was to smash the mirror on the nearest rock. Why? Because for the first time in her life, she knew the truth. What other people had told her all those years was of little importance. What she had believed about herself made no difference. She saw for the first time that her beauty was not genuine. It was false. A mirror will show us what we really look like. And when we look into a mirror, we see the brutal truth. And sometimes we don't want to acknowledge the truth of what we see. We don't want to acknowledge it. But the Word of God serves as a mirror to show the truth about ourselves. But it will only do so if we learn to apply it to our lives. Learning to submit to God's word commands a response. Now, the final main point I want to give us today is this. We also need to learn to be stirred by God's word. Those who consider themselves, James says in verse 26 and 27, religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, this is unfortunately a great disparity between what many Christians say they believe and the way they behave. The great A.W. Tozer put it this way: there is an evil which in its effect on the Christian religion may be more destructive than communism and Romanism combined. It is the glaring disparity between theology and practice among professing Christians. So wide is this gulf between theory and practice in the church that an inquiring stranger who chances upon both would scarcely dream that there was any relation between the two of them. An intelligent observer of our human scene who had the Sunday morning message and later watched the Sunday afternoon conduct of those who heard it would conclude that he had been examining two distinct and contrary religions. It appears to me that too many Christians want to enjoy the thrill of feeling right but are not willing to endure the inconvenience of being right. Wow. I read that quote this week and man, it just like right here on me. Cut to the heart. The final step in this process that James gives us today is that we must allow ourselves to be stirred by God's word. He's talking here of putting the word to practical use. You see, we must not only respond to the word by acknowledging a need to do it, but we must find practical ways to actually begin doing it. How do we do that? Well, James gives us some more direction because he likes to do that for us. He tells us, first of all, to guard our tongue. Verse 26. James tells us that our religion is worthless unless our tongue is kept on a tight rein. Now, remember, he already told us earlier in this passage to be slow to speak. But what he's saying here is somewhat different. He is saying that we need to control our speech. Control what comes out of our mouths. James knows that if we can learn to control our tongue, that we can harness most of the other behaviors in our life as well. Guard our tongue, he said. Secondly, he says, give to others. Verse 27, he says that practical religion looks like this: to look after orphans and widows in their trouble. In other words, living out the word in a practical way will mean that we care about others. Now, being a Christian means others will what? See Christ living in us. Being a Christian means others will see Christ living in us. Ran across a funny story about a pastor who was going over the church finances when he found a receipt from a local paint store signed by someone named Christian. He wasn't aware of anyone by the name Christian buying paint, so he called the store to point out its mistake. And he said to the store owner, "I'm sorry," he told the manager, "but there are no Christians here at our church." Don't let that ever be said about you and me at Cottage Grove Faith Center. Amen. This has been one of the things historically, if you look at church history, that the church has been really good at, done really well. Historically, it's been the church that has set up hospitals, orphanages, homes for the elderly, many other social institutions designed to care for the needs of others, because people matter to God, and they should matter to you and me. Amen? People should matter to us. And James says, you know what? Don't just talk about stuff. Go out and do it. Put it into practice. Take care of the widows. Take care of the orphans. Take care of the life around you. One of the ways that we act on the word is to have compassion for people and do something to help them. Now keep in mind, it doesn't have to be something huge. It doesn't have to be where we're supporting them for the rest of their lives. But don't focus on what we can't do, but we can focus rather on what we can do. We may not be able to do everything, but we can do something. And I love what the Bible says. This world will what? See our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Give to others. Finally, James says in verse 27, we also need to guard our hearts. He goes back here again. He tells us that a mark of true spirituality is to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In other words, keep your heart clean, he says. Guard it. Be careful. Watch what we do. Watch what we allow into our lives. Don't let anything keep us from having a pure mind and a pure heart before our Heavenly Father. He says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Allow the Word of God to be stirred in you. That will compel you into action. Can I have the worship team come down? We're going to prepare just a moment to bring this message to a close. I'm going to ask an important question today. What from today? What from today's message do you think that we could leave from here and put into practice in our own lives? What has God said to you and me lately? What in our life has kept us from really being able to serve God like we need to be serving God? What are we willing to do about it? Has God said to you or me, hey, you need to calm down a little bit. Tone that anger down a little bit, Kevin. Is there too much anger in our life? Will we make a commitment today to get a handle on that? Or perhaps God has spoken to us about a sin in our own life that we have to lay down before Him and receive His forgiveness and honor Him that way. God, I want to lay it down. I don't want it to defeat me. Rid this from my life. In one case, we need to lay down the sins we are committing. And in the other case, we need to lay down our refusal to do what God has asked you and me to do in our personal lives. We might simply need to stop talking and begin to listen. We may need to be able to guard our hearts. We may need to examine the Word of God. We may need to allow the Word of God to resonate, to take root in us, so that we can compel and reflect on it. The most incredible gift that we have been given is the Word of God, the love letter that God has written to each one of us. We may just simply need to just start actively living for Jesus Christ. laying our sins down and guarding our life with the word of truth, making a commitment that we will keep, that we don't just merely say the words, but we put action to it. As we think about what God is saying to us today, let me ask this last question. What can I do? Will you personalize that for yourself? What can I do? How can I apply what I know in my life to be true? How can I apply it to my life? And then we go out into the world and we do what Nike's been telling us to do forever. We just do it. You know what I mean? We just do it. Will you bow your heads with me? Jesus, I'm incredibly grateful for the word. And I'm grateful for apostles like James, not afraid to mince words, but speak to the heart of the believer. And Lord, sometimes these stories and passages of Scripture are not easy for us to really grab a hold of and even want to grab a hold of, because, Lord, oftentimes it requires work in our lives. Would you remind us today of the cross of Jesus Christ? Would you remind us today what it was that you did for each and every person in this room today? Lord, would you allow us to be receptive to the Word of God? Not that it's some kind of rules that we're forced to follow, but Lord, that our desire would be, Lord, we just want to please you. Lord, I want to please you in the way that I live my life. I want to be practical in the way that I reach people in my neighborhood, on my job, at school, when I'm walking down the street. Lord, in my times of prayer, will you bring people to my mind that I can pray for? And that I don't only pray for, but that I follow up with a phone call or a visit, and I put into practice what it is that you're teaching me. Lord, we want to be your servants, Jesus. We honor you today. Lord, I honor your word that speaks so much truth. And Lord, as we've been taught as young people, when we were kids, Lord, sometimes the truth cuts to the heart and it hurts at times. Lord, would you allow it to just cut to our hearts today? And if it needs to hurt a little bit in some areas of our lives, allow it to do that, Lord. Because the goal is to bring us closer to our loving Savior. Would you allow us to rid ourselves of evil and filth that James talks about here, and instead allow the fruit of the Spirit to operate in our lives? We put on the full armor of God as we go out into battle each day, Lord, so that you protect us. We love you, Jesus. We're grateful, Jesus. Your heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask this question. You're here today and you say, how do I make Jesus Lord of my life? Well, it's this easy, right where you're sitting. He's here today. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Invite him to be the Lord of your life today. Would you allow Jesus to reign victorious in your life today? Would you allow Jesus to be your friend today? Allow Jesus to be your Lord. Right where you're sitting, confess him as your Lord this morning. Invite him to be your Savior today. Nobody looking around, I'm going to ask this question. You just prayed a prayer to accept Christ as your Savior. Would you do me a favor? Raise your hand, because I'm going to pray for you this week. Anybody in this room? Thank you. Anybody else in this room? Just raise it up high if I don't see it. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we're grateful. I'm grateful, Lord, for the heart of the Father. That, God, you're all about love, and you're all about bringing us in closer relationship with you. Lord, help us to be active participants. And it's not just a one-way street, Lord, but that we are communicating with Creator of the universe, our Father, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we're allowing the Word of God to resonate deeply within us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.